God's people, the deception that's in the world, the deception that causes us to move away from eternal truths. But the sermon today is not about deception. It is about the Holy Spirit and how much we need the Holy Spirit. So we'll begin reading in Galatians chapter 3, 1 through 5. This is in the New King James Version. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, you're now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? There's another translation. I like this other translation. It's the J.B. Phillips translation. It's a little bit more blunt. I've read this once before. You don't want to get a letter from somebody saying, "Dear idiots." But this letter does that. The King James, the New King James says, "Oh, foolish Galatians." Look at this, dear idiots of Galatia, who saw Jesus Christ crucified so plainly. You saw him crucified. Who has been casting a spell over you? I will ask you one simple question. That's a good title for a sermon. One simple question. Did you receive the Spirit of God by trying to keep the law or by believing the message of the gospel? As we look around the churches of America, we see a lot of indications of weakness and feebleness and failure and sin and shortcomings. What we don't see is the powerful move of God by His Holy Spirit. We don't see enough people full of praise and joy and sincere worship in the church. We don't see enough healing, deliverance, and miracles, and the salvation of the lost. Why is it? Is there any reason for the church to be living in such low estate? Is it not the will of God that God's people should always be living in the strength and the joy of the Lord and in the mighty and the fullness and the power of His Holy Spirit? Is that not God's will for us? The next question follows. Why is it, how is it accounted for that God's church, generally speaking, is so feeble and weak today? How is it that the great majority of Christians are not living up to our privileges and plan according to the will of Jesus Christ for our individual lives? There must be a reason for it. Hasn't God given us Jesus? Hasn't the Lord given us His ever-present reality with us? Hasn't the Lord given us His Holy Spirit in our individual lives and in our place of worship? In more than one of Paul's letters, we find a very solemn answer to these questions. In his letters to the Corinthians as well as to the Galatians that we just read, he tells them in many different ways, he tells them, that they were not living as Christ intended them to live. Many, many were under the power of the flesh, not the Spirit. Our text is just one example, as he reminds believers at Galatia that by the preaching of faith, they had received Christ. It was a spiritual event. And because of that, the Holy Spirit and power was in them because they received Jesus. But what happened? Having begun in the Spirit, they tried to perfect the work of the Spirit that the Spirit had begun. They tried to perfect it by works of the flesh, by their own efforts, by keeping the rules and the laws. Paul dealt with this same issue in his letter to the Corinthians. In fact, you'll see it on this next PowerPoint, the great need. The great need of the church 2,000 years ago is the same great need of the church today. God has called the church to live in the power of His Holy Spirit. Oh, how we need that. And I can assure you, while we're saying the church today, the same is true for most individual believers today. Individual believers are called to live under the power of the Holy Spirit. Please hear me this morning. Please hear me. If individual believers and the church will return to a knowledge and an understanding that the Holy Spirit is our strength, that the Holy Spirit is our help, and we will return to that point where we give up everything. We give up everything and we wait on God to be filled by His Spirit. If we do that, then the days of beauty and gladness and power in our lives and in the church will return. It will. We'll see the glory of God among us. Nothing, absolutely nothing, will help you until you come to understand that we must begin to live every day under the power and leading and influence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God wants you and me to be living vessels through which He can pour His Spirit through us, to be manifested by those around us in our lives, to see there's something different about us, there's something spiritual about us. And it should be in every moment, every day of our lives. And the Holy Spirit will enable it in us if we will just let Him. If those folks in the church in Galatia, in the scripture we read earlier, those folks in that church, they were born again. They had accepted Christ as their Savior. They had been baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit. And yet, they were tempted to go astray. If they were tempted to reach perfection by just following after the things of the flesh instead of the things of the Spirit, wouldn't it not make sense that we could be making the same mistakes? That we could be facing the same temptations and have the same problems that they had? Yes, of course it makes sense. The evidence of this is seen in churches today where believers hardly ever think about the gift of the Holy Spirit. They hardly ever praise God for the Holy Spirit. Which brings me to my first point this morning, neglecting the Holy Spirit. A person cannot live a godly life without the power of the Holy Spirit. He may live a proper life, he may live a consistent life, he may live a committed life, a consecrated life, an irreproachable life, a life of virtue, a life of diligent service, but if he's living a life without the presence of the Holy Spirit, he's missing what God has for him. For her to live a life acceptable to God, and by the way, that should be all of our desire, amen. To live a life acceptable to God in the enjoyment of God's salvation, in the enjoyment of God's love, and to walk in the power of new life, it will not happen unless we are guided daily by the Holy Spirit. the Galatians in that church, they started in faith. They started by the work of the Spirit. But then they moved from the work of the Spirit to the things of the law, and they tried to perfect themselves in the flesh. And they were influenced, by the way, by teachers who told them, in order to go to heaven and to serve God, that they must be circumcised. What they told them. They begin to believe that their salvation and their relationship with God was based on external observances rather than the work of the Spirit by faith in the heart.
Yes.
So Paul used an expression about those teachers who had been teaching them they had to be circumcised. Look with me in this next PowerPoint. You'll see it. It's in Galatians 6:13. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh. What does he mean when he says that they, those teachers he's talking about, that those teachers may boast in your flesh? What does he mean? He's saying that these teachers' motives was really all about themselves. They were concerned about their own persecution. They were concerned about their own persecution from the local Jews that would persecute them for failing to support the Jewish law. So that's why they get this word, that they may boast in your flesh. But Paul continues in verse 14. He says, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. What does he mean by that? He means when there's a new baby born, he's circumcised. That's all it avails. That's all it shows, that there's somebody new been born. Paul's reminding us that we cannot boast about anything we have done, anything that we've done in the flesh, anything we've done trying to keep the law, but that we can only boast in what Jesus has done for you and me on that cross. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Sadly, today, many of us do the same thing that the folks in Galatia did. And we do it without even realizing it. What begins in our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit eventually turns into human strength and human will and human effort and human plans, striving in our own flesh, in our own ways, in our own made-up, man-made stuff, to serve God. Well, the goal, by the way, is very admirable, but the process is totally flawed. It's completely flawed. Men and women can be very diligent, make great sacrifices, yet all the power is only in the human flesh, and it will result in nothing if it's just of the flesh and the will of man and the plans of man. The great question that each of us must ask, that one simple question in self-examination. Ask yourself this question today. Am I living more in the power of the flesh than in the power of the Holy Spirit? Amen. A man may be a pastor, he may be a preacher. He may work diligently in ministry. He may do a lot of wonderful Christian works. A Christian worker, a layman, may work diligently in the church, giving to the church, feeding others, making great sacrifices. Yet in both of these instances, you see and you feel that there is something lacking. That something is missing. You sense that there's no spirituality in their lives. They're doing great things, but they're just not spiritual people. To make the point that I'm trying to make right now, I ask you this question. How many Christians do you know that you would ever think of saying, what a spiritual person he or she is? I pray that there's someone you know that you could say that about. There should be a lot, by the way. The problem is one word, flesh. It is. Even in the church, even in our lives. The problem is one word, it's flesh. The flesh can manifest itself in so many ways in areas that we're so least likely to detect it. It may be manifested in fleshly wisdom. I may think about Jesus all the time. I may preach or write or think or meditate. I may delight and be occupied with things like the Bible and the church. Yet the power of the Holy Spirit may be markedly absent from me, even though I'm doing those things. Does that make sense? You understand what I'm saying today? If you believe preaching in America, if it was surveyed, I think you'd find that throughout churches in America, there is so little converting power in the preaching of the Word. There is so much work and so little result for eternity. Why? Why does it seem like the Word has so little power to build up believers in holiness and consecration and sanctification? I will tell you the answer is the absence of the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the answer. Why? Why is this true? There can be no other reason except that the flesh and human energy and human will and human plans have taken the place of what the Holy Spirit ought to be doing, the place that the Holy Spirit should have. Ever so often I get a publication from our national offices out of Springfield. I got one in the mail yesterday. It's called Influence. It's full of great articles by skilled people writing things about follow these three steps, do these four programs, do this, do that. It's dry as dust. I'm not saying there aren't good things in it, but I'm telling you, it's just so dry. I weep. It grieves my heart when I get that coming from our national office, and I'm thinking, where's the anointing? Where's the Spirit? Where is the passion? Where is that sense of inspiration that we need? It's not there. May God help us. You look at this next slide. May God help us. We've embraced methods and processes and programs and plans, ideas, all in place of praying and crying out to God for the presence and the power of His Holy Spirit. God help us. The Galatians and the Corinthians, they had the same problem. Remember what Paul wrote to them? He said, I could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. And you know that Paul often in his letters had to reprove and to condemn and correct them for all the strife and divisions and stuff that was going on in their churches, which leads to the second point today, lacking the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. What are the indications that a church like the Galatians, or a Christian believer, for example, is serving God in the power of the flesh? What are indications that it's all just being done in the power of the flesh? Trying to perfect in the flesh what began in the Spirit. What's the evidence of that? The answer is very easy. Religious self-effort always ends in sinful strife and stress and divisions because it's all done in the flesh. That's the evidence that there's no fruit of the Spirit. What was the state of those Galatians? See, as they strived to be justified by the works of the law, they were constantly quarreling and in danger of devouring one another. Come on, come on. Look at the many times Paul had to warn them of evil and jealousy and bitterness and strife and divisions. You can see how when they tried to serve God in their own strength, by their own rules, in their own flesh, they utterly failed. And we do the same thing in churches in America today. We're failing because we refuse to invite the power and the work of the Holy Spirit in the church and in our lives. Religious effort always ends in failure. Spirit-led, Holy Spirit-guided lives always ends in victory in reaching those for Jesus Christ. It's so sad, unfortunately, that many Christian homes today, they continue to prove this truth. Instead of living a life of faith, faith in the Holy Spirit with the fruit of the Spirit and great evidence in our homes. Instead of that, so many homes are full of anger and sharp tongue and extreme emotions and even bitterness. And often there's so much strife among members of the churches. Oh, it just breaks my heart when I hear of these things in our churches. There's so much strife in members of churches because they're full of envy and jealousy and self-promotion and they want it their way. And it's all about pride. It's in the flesh and it's not in the Spirit. No wonder. No wonder so many churches are so weak today. Where are the marks? Where is the evidence of the presence of the Holy Spirit? Where's the evidence that the Lamb of God has taken up residency in all of our hearts? Sadly, so many folks in church today seem content and satisfied with our individual feebleness, the feebleness in our churches, often just thinking, well, it just can't be helped. So many believers have grown cool in their own hearts and spirits. And as a result, there's a lack of love and passion for the church. They never even seem to think about the possibility of incredible, wonderful change, that things can be different in people's lives as well as in the church. There is no hope for radical change. None. Until the church, and really all of us together, begin to see that every sin in the believer comes from the flesh. It does. A fleshly life full of self-effort to serve God. And it happens so much in our churches. We fail miserably and we only continue as we are until we begin somehow, in some way, to get God's Holy Spirit and power back in our individual lives and in His church. Amen. Oh, how we need that church. Where did the early church begin? Where did that early church begin? They began in Pentecost. They began in an upper room. They began full of the power of the Holy Spirit. But sadly over time, even into that first century, they drifted away from the things of the Spirit. They drifted into the rules and dogma and creeds and laws and thought that was the way for perfection. That was the way to perfect one another in the church. And they begin to drift away from the influence and the guidance and the ministry and the power of the Holy Spirit. If we fully expect God to have mercy on His church in the last days, and we are in the last days, folks. If we fully expect God to have mercy on the church in the last days before the return of Jesus, it will be because of the belief in the truth that the Holy Spirit must be sought after. That the Holy Spirit must be sought after. We must seek after the Holy Spirit with all of our hearts, with all of the passion. We seek after Him, His presence. We must look for Him and seek for Him. You notice in this next PowerPoint, not only should we be seeking after Him, but entire congregations of Christians
must bow before God in brokenness and humility with one cry. We have grieved God's Spirit. We've tried to be Christian churches with as little as possible of God's Holy Spirit. God, forgive us. For we have sought to be churches that weren't filled with the Spirit, but just filled with the stuff of man. God, help us to seek after the filling of the Holy Spirit individually and in this place of worship. Until we learn to wait upon the Holy Spirit to come into our presence with His omnipotent and enabling power. Until we do that, the church will never be what God wants her to be. It will never be what God is willing to make of her and you and me individually. It's true for us as individuals. Now to my last point this morning, yielding to the Holy Spirit. What's the way to bring the revival and the restoration that's desperately needed? The Galatians, those Galatians, had no other way in return but to come back to where they had gone wrong. They had to come back from all the religious effort. They had to yield themselves humbly to the Holy Spirit. And today there is no other way for us as individuals and as a church unless we do that same thing. The Father in heaven, our Heavenly Father, you know, God loves to fill His children with His Holy Spirit and power. God loves to do that, just like He did on the day of Pentecost. God longs to give each one of us the power of the Holy Spirit for our daily lives. He wants us to place our sins before Him and cry out for mercy. Are we so foolish? Are we like those idiots in Galatia? That we believe that the thing that began in the Spirit that we're now trying to perfect in the flesh by just doing the right thing and attending church and doing those things that are right but not relying on and walking in His Holy Spirit. May God help us. May God help us to confess how our fleshly religion, our self-efforts, our self-confidence have been the cause of every failure of missing God's bless in our individual lives and missing God's best in our church. That's the cause of it. When we're surrendered, when we're fully, humbly, broken, and surrendered to the Lord, I cannot tell you, He will fill us again and again, and we will not fail. We will not. Would you please stand with me this morning? Would you please stand? Are you hungry for a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit? Are you hungry for a fresh filling of His Holy Spirit? Are you hungry to feel the flow and the power of the Spirit in your spirit and your heart as you lift your hands in worship and praise to the Savior? Are you hungry for that fresh strength? Are you hungry for that fresh sense of God's power to be an overcomer? Are you longing for that in your lives? If you're not, something's wrong. Can I tell you that? Something's not right. That should be the desire of every one of our hearts. So today, we're going to close this service just a little bit different. If you're hungry for a fresh touch, if you're hungry for a fresh move of the Holy Spirit in your life, I want to ask you to come out of those seats and step forward and just remain standing and face me. And we're going to pray together. We're going to lift our arms together. We're in faith going to reach up and touch God as He's already told us to do by that message earlier today. He said, I've touched you. Would you just reach up and touch me? Are you willing to do that? Would you just step out this morning and come forward? And us together in faith reach out for only what God can do by His Spirit. Only what God can do in us when we reach up in faith to Him. Are you willing, I'm just asking you, are you willing to give up yourself to the daily living and the daily filling of the Holy Spirit? God alone can baptize us and restore His presence and His power and His joy in us. In Ephesians 3 and 16 we have, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. I don't know about you, but I need to be strengthened by His Spirit in the inner man today. I need a fresh touch from Him today. Every waiting heart that makes a sacrifice, every waiting heart that gives up and cries out to God, the power of His Spirit, the gift and blessing of the Holy Spirit is right there with us. Let us worship Him. Let His Spirit fall on us. Let us have a fresh baptism in this place today. We must receive it, Father, in the name of Jesus. We come before You. We humble ourselves before You. We confess our sins to You, Jesus.
We love You. We praise You. We need You, Father. We need Your Spirit. We lift our hands. We reach up to receive. God, we reach up to touch You this morning. Father, we reach up that Your power of Your Holy Spirit would give us a fresh touch. Father, let us hunger and thirst for that fresh touch. Let us hunger and thirst for that anointing. Father, let us hunger and thirst for the power of Your Spirit in our lives. God, give us a fresh filling today. God, fill us again and again with Your power in the name of Jesus. By the anointing and the power of Your Spirit, God, minister in this place. We thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Father. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Father. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus.
If you're here today and you need prayer, you need prayer for your physical body, you need prayer for any reason, would you just lift your hand right now? If you need prayer, would you just lift your hand? Now look around. You see these hands? Let's let somebody get behind, or somebody's get behind every hand that's raised. You see these hands that are raised today? Someone would go behind them. Keep that hand up for just a minute. Somebody come behind these folks that got their hands up.
Did you do that? Some of you prayer warriors, come in here and get behind. There's some folks over here to my right and your left. They got their hands up. They need somebody behind them praying for them. Somebody just step up, lay a hand on them and pray for them. Let them know you're praying for them. God knows the need. He already is aware before we ask Him. But by the power of His Spirit in faith, pray for these needs right now in Jesus' name. Oh God, we lift up these precious ones that lifted their hands in this church. Hallelujah. We thank You for miracles. We thank You for healing. We thank You for answers. We thank You for deliverance. We thank You for meeting needs and finances. God, we thank You for healing broken relationships. God, we ask You to meet every need in this place today. By Your power, by Your Spirit, Father, meet these needs. Touch these ones, Father. God, lift them by Your Spirit. Give faith today where faith is needed. Give hope where hope is needed. In Jesus' name, meet every need today. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise His name. Praise His name. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Mike, play that song, Reach Out and Touch the Lord. The Word of God gave us in the communication in tongues and interpretation. Remember, the Lord said, I've touched you. I've reached out to you. Won't you just reach out to me? It's just this image of God reaching out and just waiting for us to reach back, isn't it? Isn't that what it is? Sing this song that we're going to sing.
Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by.
Thank You, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank You,
we
Lord.
We praise You today. We give You glory. We give You honor. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit. God, forgive us for being so satisfied with so little of the work of the Holy Spirit in our individual lives. Forgive us for being so satisfied with so little of the work of the power in the Spirit in our church. God, help us to go forward in this new year in faith and expectation and in the power of the Spirit. Let us not settle for anything less than that. Let it become a passion. Let it become the desire of our hearts. We thank You now. We praise You in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank You, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you today. Thank you for being with us. We encourage you to be in prayer for the church. Be in prayer for our Wednesday night service. Come and be with us Wednesday night. Come and worship. And give praise to the Lord. God bless you. Have a great rest of the day. You're dismissed. Amen.